Every time it rains, panties from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains panties from heaven?
Shoo-be-doo-be.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is up, upside down. And trading for a package.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know what time it is. It's Tuesday, a little after 9, and that means it's time for the Garden Line on Pep Talk. So if you have a gardening question, comment, I know we had some questions from last week we didn't get to, so please text those in at 850-437-1620. So listening to a little Louis Prima, for those of you who remember, this is from the Capitol Records collection, Pennies from Heaven. And this was a special request from my special guest this morning. Mike is not able to be with us this morning. He's got some things he's got to take care of today. So we have Paul Loxton here, who is with Blue Sky Landscaping. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Meg. How are you today?
I'm so excited you could come in today, because I will tell you, we were joking a little while ago, since I know so little about gardening personally, I could never handle this garden line by myself. And so Paul is kind of unofficially a part of our research department. Mike and I always joke when somebody asks us a question we don't have an answer to, we always say, oh, we'll be right back and checking with our research department. And 9 times out of 10, we get a text from you, Paul.
That's awesome.
With an answer to whatever the question of the moment is. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
So talk right into that thing right there. There you go. So tell us a little bit about your background. You've been doing this a long, long time, but you're with a company called Blue Sky Landscaping. So tell us about that company, and you're also a sponsor of the show. So
yeah,
why not?
Oh, golly, don't want to age myself now, but
too late.
I've been in landscape now for over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just been a passion of mine growing up. I've been with Blue Sky Landscaping as their lead designer for 7 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I love it. Justin DeRose, the owner of Blue Sky, he's an amazing guy to work for. Just amazing. He really cares about the crews, cares about the guys, and we care about our clients. So just love it.
So where do y'all, what area do you cover? Just Pensacola or all over?
No. We go out to Santa Rosa. We do, Beulah, Cantonment, Milton, Pace, Pensacola, obviously Gulf Breeze. We've gone as far as Navarre, but that's stretching it a little bit.
Okay. So mostly locally. So that's great. So it's great that you're here this morning. And so you started with the company now, what, eight years ago?
7 years ago. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually, it's so funny. Justin and I heard about each other through a former employee of mine from another company.
Uh-huh.
And so I had reached out to him. I said, hi, my name is Paul. And he goes, oh, I've heard about you. And we started talking, and he goes, well, where are you right now? And I said, well, I'm at my apartment. I just got home, and I was going to open up a beer. And he said, well, let me swing by. So he swung by.
Mm-hmm.
I showed him some of my designs that I had done in the past over a cold beer and a shot of whiskey.
Oh, boy.
And he hired me. So it's just a great story that we talked about.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, because I was asking you about what you do, and you said you're specifically a designer.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that.
I just love designing.
So you're talking about designing like a landscape, for example.
Yeah. So like if a homeowner comes in and they have no idea what to do with their yard, but
one of those people. That would be me.
Yeah. Increase the curb appeal or give it some pizzazz. They would call us. And what I do is I come out and I do a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I will ask for a plot plan. And some people don't know what that is. But whenever you purchase a home, in your folder, you will always get a plot plan. And it's basically the dimensions of the home in your plot.
Mm-hmm.
And
then it tells you exactly how much of that yard is actually yours.
Yes.
Is that the square footage, so to speak?
What I'll do is I'll take that, and then I'll get that saved to a PDF, and I'll start my sketching on that. That way we're well within your property lines
smart.
And all that. And
very
it, it
smart.
It just helps with the measuring process.
So how do you make the decisions? I mean, how do you come up with a plan? What influence? I'm real curious about the because I'm, as you know, I'm an actress, creative person, and I love the creative process. So you see this sort of, I guess it's like a painter, a blank palette of this property. How do you decide what will accent the house, what will actually grow there? Because that's a factor depending on shade and are we on the beach, are you in town, you know, all those different things.
It's so funny you would ask me that because I've never really thought about that. And I guess it's the same with most artistic fields.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who's into acting, you just start thinking of other characters and it just comes kind of quote unquote naturally.
Right. We have a different way of seeing things, I think.
Exactly. When I come to a property, I could just see different aspects of how I think this property would. And so I just pull from
that.
I
think that's so wonderful. That's such a talent.
Now, but I will say when I first got started in landscaping, golly, in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
I was with an old friend of mine and he was a landscaper. And I had asked him, how do you know all these plants? Because I was really wanting to learn plants.
Yeah.
It could be daunting because there's so many plants, right?
Yes, I've learned from Mike.
So he taught me the simplest thing. He says, when you're driving down the road, you just spot a plant mm-hmm. and you just repeat the name to yourself a few times.
Oh.
And then you go somewhere else, you find a plant, you just repeat. And I did that.
Huh.
And it was the easiest learning process after that.
Yeah. And I'm sure you see a lot of the same things in this area, of course. And
you do. Yep. And, you know, there are just with everything, there's fads that come into style and go out of style. For instance, like hydrangea was real popular in the 50s and 60s. And then it fell out of favor. And now it's just on a renaissance. Yeah.
Coming back now. Interesting. Yep. Well, what we're going to talk about today while you're here, which I'm excited about, is, and what Mike and I have been touching on, is the fact that we're in winter officially. Cold weather. So maybe what you can do for us today too, Mike, is to give us some tips on how to protect the plants that we do have. And then how do we go forward? What do we need to be looking at and doing now to get ready for that warm weather, which is right around the corner?
It is right around the corner. So there's actually quite a few things because, as you know, our winters are warm, cold, warm, cold, warm.
All in a day?
Yeah.
Like 30 in the morning, 70 in the afternoon, that kind of weather.
Like 3 days ago, I had just brought in all my plants,
right?
Or I brought them out, and then I had to bring them back in. It's like, oh. With your tropicals mm-hmm. and your subtropicals, if they're in pots, obviously cover them or bring them in.
Right.
If you have potted citrus, it's good to bring them closer to the house if you can't just bring them in.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize, but the house emits quite a bit of heat.
Really?
Yeah. So if you can't bring something in, but you can move it as close to the house as possible.
That's interesting.
That can help it.
And
survive.
Is that true for any of your plants, really?
For most of your plants, especially in the subtropical,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference between tropical and subtropical.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that to me.
So tropical plants cannot handle the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of tropical plants, like banana, for instance.
Okay.
Now, bananas will come back, as we all know. But think of that kind of plant structure. I mean, the first freeze and they just melt to the ground, right?
Mm.
But your subtropicals can handle a bit of cold weather without really being affected too much. A lot of those would be like your agaves and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
So you can bring those close to the house where just that little few degrees of extra warmth will help protect it.
Wow, that is a great tip. Yep. We're talking with Paul Loxton. He is with Blue Sky Landscaping, filling in for Mike today on the Garden Line. And trust me, he is very knowledgeable because he is part of our research department, just to let you know. So if you have a question, now is the time to send it in. We'll be here for the whole hour. The number here is 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Paul Loxton with Blue Sky Landscaping is sitting with us this morning. And we've already got a text in. If you've got a question about landscaping, about plants, gardening, this is the place to do it. Send it in at 850-437-1620. And one of our listeners just sent in a great question. What are some nice edible plants, Paul, that I can incorporate into my landscaping that will also be pretty to look at? That's a great question.
That is a great question. And there's actually a lot here in Pensacola or in Florida. One of my all-time favorites, though, people don't realize the blueberry is actually a native to our area.
Really?
And my favorite is called Dwaroi blueberry. It is a dwarf blueberry that you can use as a foundation shrub, as a specimen shrub. They get to be about 3 feet tall, 3 feet wide, but they have the most spectacular fall and winter color. Mine, that I have in my yard right now, are just this deep garnet colored red, and they're an evergreen, so they're not going to shed the leaves. The new growth comes out this kind of blush pink and then turns green.
Oh, pretty.
And then in the winter, it's just a beautiful red. But they have the sweetest little blueberries.
Huh.
And especially with kids, because it's a low-growing bush.
Right.
If you have kids and you want to teach them about gardening and edibles and the lawn, that'd be something that I would highly recommend.
Okay, so what's the name of that one?
Dwaroi blueberry.
And then how do you find that?
Where would you go to get that? Any native nursery or local nursery will have or can get that. We've got quite a few in the area.
Uh-huh.
But your big box stores,
they won't have it.
They tend not to have natives. They're just the things that people would that you can get anywhere.
Okay.
I know the Native Plant Company. They're out in Milton.
Mm-hmm.
She grows them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You can call GTF Nursery on Palafox. They can order them in. Pensacola Seed and Garden may be able to get them. All the local places.
Right, right.
That have different suppliers.
That have sort of hands-on access. Okay, yep. Very good. Well, it was funny that our listener brought this up, because we were just talking about that one of the things you did want to talk about were edible plants.
Yes.
So let's go there, because you're in the process now of, we're looking towards spring and what we can do differently, and talk about that.
So, you know, fruit trees are really popular.
I used to have a great fruit and an orange tree in my backyard.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize there are some native fruit trees that we can get here in our area. Again, from local nurseries. The pawpaw is a wonderful, wonderful, delicious fruit. It's also called the custard apple, but it's kind of related to the banana. Genetically speaking, just in flavor.
Interesting. Flavor I've never profile. Heard of this. Only thing I've ever heard of pawpaw was when we're talking about grandpa.
Yeah. So,
a pawpaw.
The pawpaw tree. It is actually native from Florida all the way up to, I want to say it's close to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's got a good range.
Right.
In the eastern United States. Again, the fruit is reminiscent of like a custard or a banana flavor.
Interesting.
It's not commercially grown, because the fruit, once it ripens, it doesn't have a long life shelf. So that's why you don't see it in the grocery stores or anything. You have to get it from a native supplier, but delicious. You do need a male and a female.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to get two trees. They don't get too terribly big, maybe 20, 25 feet. Wide and tall.
Yeah.
Delicious. Called the pawpaw. P-A-W.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun. Now, I did have a text that just came in, and someone's asking, one of our listeners wants to know, Paul, please spell the blueberry name.
Dwaroi.
Okay, hang on. You now get your pen out.
let me see if I can D-W-A-R-R-O-W-I-I, I believe.
Dwaroi. Okay.
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
But if you present that to someone, they'll know what you're trying to say.
Okay. So I'm fascinated now. We've got the pawpaw, which is that would be really fun, because it's always fun to have something unique in your garden.
It really is. Yep. It really is. Another one. Everybody loves plums, right?
Yes.
Chickasaw plum.
Oh.
It's a native plum tree. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing with Chickasaw is it's an understory tree, which means it doesn't have a large profile, and it likes to be planted in more of a shady kind of environment.
I had never heard that expression, understory. What does that mean?
So in the canopy of forests, you have understory and canopies. So your understory plants are the plants that live underneath the large canopies of the trees.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. So the Chickasaw has a propensity to sucker out, which everybody who has a crepe myrtle knows about suckers. You know, they send up shoots everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just treat it like a crepe myrtle.
Okay.
Go in there and cut the sucker growth off of it.
Uh-huh.
And you'll have these delicious small plums.
Oh, yeah,
and
plums are so good.
And the spring growth, the blooms, it's just covered in white blooms. Just like
a
normal. Spectacular. So Chickasaw plum.
Another pretty but edible plant.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Have you got another one on your list?
I do. So this is so fun because there's so many. Florida is rich in edible plantings. But Ashley, she owns the Florida plant company, or the Florida native plant company that I just mentioned out in Milton.
Uh-huh.
And she introduced me to a ground cover, which is called Dune Sand Cherry. Sand Dune Ground Cherry. It's a mouthful.
Sand Dune Ground Cherry. Okay.
Yep. And it actually grows on our beaches.
Oh.
But it's a little ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it produces these little Chinese lantern-like flowers that then ripen into a little red cherry.
Huh.
And they're very tart, but they're really good. I put mine, you don't do anything to it. It grows on the beach. So I just put it in a pot, a decorative pot I have.
Sounds like something I could do.
Full of sand. I haven't watered it.
Really?
I just let the rain take care of it. And it tripled in size in 1 month.
Wow.
And I tell you what, it's delicious.
Huh.
Yep. It goes dormant in the winter, like a lot of stuff does. But in the spring, it comes back. So let's see if I can say it again. Dune Sand Ground Cherry.
Dune Sand Ground Cherry. Okay. Yeah. We're talking with Paul Logsdon with Blue Sky Landscaping. If you've got a question or comment, please send it in. 850-437-1620. Got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with special guest Paul Logsdon, who's here with Blue Sky Landscaping. Got a text from Karen. She's always reminding us of all the exciting gardening events happening in Pensacola. She says, could you please remind your listeners that registration for the annual educational series event on February 12th, hosted by Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs, is open until February 1st. So that deadline's kind of sneaking up on us, believe it or not. The general public is invited to join garden club members at the event held by PFGC since 1998. The registration forms are available at the Garden Center Facebook page, PensacolaGardenCenter.com, which is the website, or you can call Karen directly, 402-320-4458. 402-320-4458. The $25 fee, the registration fee, includes lunch, snacks, beverages, and sessions with four speakers. So if you have any questions, please reach out. And thanks, Karen, for keeping us updated on that. I know that Mike appreciates you letting our listeners know about what's happening. So we got a couple minutes here, and Paul is such an expert, and he just whispered to me, we got to talk about the
hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas, yes.
So,
okay.
Your hydrangea macrophyllas are the pinks and the blues. You can change the colors on that. Now is the time to start amending the soil, the pH. If you want it more pink, you make it more alkaline. If you want it more blue, you make it more acidic. Now, our
say
area.
Say that again. For those of us taking notes.
More alkaline is pink.
Mm-hmm. For the soil.
Yep. More acidic would make it blue.
Okay.
Our area is more acidic naturally. So a lot of people's are naturally going to turn blue. But if you just buy a hydrangea from the big box stores and you put it in the ground, a lot of times the soil it comes in are more alkaline. So now's the time to go ahead and amend that soil to get it to the color you want.
And so how do you do that?
You just buy the pH supplements and sprinkle it around the root zone.
Can you recommend what pH for people like me that go, huh? he says it's very natural. You just get the pH, blah, 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 blah. So wait, back it, up. What?
Yeah.
What exactly do I need to get?
So,
because I love this. This is great.
I can't ever remember the name of the bag that I always get, but it's basically a bag full of iron and sulfides.
Okay.
And you just sprinkle it around.
The
but
base.
If you go to any store, you'll see a big blue hydrangea or a big
pink one.
Hydrangea on it. and that's what you get, depending on the color you want.
Excellent. So that's an excellent tip. But you need to do that now.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to start doing that now.
Okay.
Because they're setting their buds. And as long as they haven't bloomed, you can change that color. Once it starts blooming, it's too late.
Wow, so fascinating to
me.
These are the things that no one's ever told me about gardening.
Yeah.
So we've got a great expert with us this morning on the Garden Line. Paul is going to stick around with us for the next half hour. So please, if you've got questions, text those in to the Garden Line at 850-437-1620. We will be back shortly with the Garden Line on Pep Talk right after the news. So don't go away.
And Paul, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
He's officially part of our research department. So the research department is in the house today.
Right.
This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And every time it rains, and it's from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains banners from heaven?
Shoo-be-doo-be.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down and trading for a package.
Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Physicals Expert Panel, and the Garden Line. Little Louis Premium for you by suggestion of our guest this morning. Paul Loxton is here with Blue Sky Landscaping, sitting in for Mike Wiggins, who was not able to be with us this morning. He's doing fine, just wasn't able to come in today. So he'll be back with us again next week. But in the meantime, we do have an expert here. Paul, really, he's a definite member of our quote-unquote research department here at the Garden Line.
It's
so great to have you back, Paul. So interesting. You already had some good questions and some good advice. We're coming into, we're in winter, right? So now what? What do we do?
Well, now we're kind of in late winter for our area, right?
Right.
So now's the time to get out and kind of come up with some new ideas for your yard. Start prepping. If you're into vegetable gardening and all that, start getting your lists, start ordering your seeds, amending your soils. Now is the time to start getting prepared because we have spring quickly approaching.
Right.
And Mike and I always joke about it's not really spring until the pecans leaf out, right? But we're only about a month and a half away from that.
Gosh, so. All right. Well, Paul is definitely our expert. And Paul, we got a bunch of texts rolling in, so let's get started. The first one that comes in is we were talking about native plants before the break. And a listener sent in that a native plant company will be selling plants following our... Oh, okay. So this is from Karen as a follow-up to the workshop that she was telling us about in February. She said the native plant company will be selling plants following our educational series event. This will be the third year Ashley has worked with us as a vendor. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Ashley is wonderful, and she is a wealth of knowledge. She's actually helped me in my native research.
Oh, okay. Native plants specifically to our area.
It's really, it's so important, Meg, the environment, changing and everything. And for so long, landscapers like myself, we were trained with more commercial and oriental plants that are not really conducive to our environment or can become invasive to our environment.
Right.
So there is a huge push for Florida natives and Florida friendlies. And I tell you what, Ashley has helped me in that.
Well, that's great. Well, she will be in, and again, the event that I'm talking about is going to be, it is being sponsored, of course, by the Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs. They do this every year. Registration is open until February 1st. You can go to the website. You can go to the Garden Center itself, their Facebook page, and the website is PensacolaGardenCenter.com. And you can also call Karen at 402-320-4458. Okay, so we've got another text that came in. Does coffee grinds, this is from one of our listeners, does coffee grinds make the soil more or less acidic? And what plants, vegetables, and fruit trees benefit from this? Or should I include coffee grinds in my organic matter?
You can, yes.
So that's a great question because I've heard about that.
It's a fantastic question. And they actually make the ground more acidic.
More acidic.
Yep.
Okay. So then with the colors, what does that make it more?
Blue.
Blue.
For
okay.
hydrangeas.
Okay.
Now, hydrangea, so far as we know, is the only plant that changes color based on pH of the
soil. Really?
Isn't that amazing?
That's fascinating.
Yeah, in the whole planet.
Wow.
Hydrangea is the only one that we know of. As far as my knowledge, is the only one that we know we can alter
so
the color.
So if you put coffee grounds around the base of your hydrangea, it could help it turn
it'll,
blue.
It'll help it turn blue and stay blue.
Interesting.
In your area. Yep. To answer their other question, a lot of our fruit and vegetables benefit from acidicness.
Mm-hmm.
So coffee grounds can be a great benefit to that. But I would make sure that you do your research on plant specifics to make sure that they handle the acidity before you just apply it. Because there are also some plants that don't like acidity. They prefer more alkaline, more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Don't add it to that.
Okay. So how do you find that out? Where would you go to learn that? Because I know you've learned it through experience, of course.
Yeah, I have. If you're growing from seed, a lot of seed packets will give a little kind of like a key, if you will, on the back as far as growing properties. Mm-hmm. And it'll say what kind of soil, alkaline, neutral, or acidic that it takes. Just a little bit of keyboard work can show that on
Google. My sister used to keep a little index file, and she would save the seed packets, actually, and just file them by the name of the plant. And she would every once in a while look up something like that and have the information there. So that's we forget that it's right there for us.
It is right there for you.
Okay, so here's another question for you. And listen, the number to call or text in would be 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, talking with Paul Logsdon, who's sitting in for our buddy Mike. And Paul definitely is an expert. He's officially part of our research department. So here's another question for you. How do you feel, Paul, about burning the lawn? This came up last week. And I think you actually even texted in about it. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the burning the lawn, because someone had texted in about how their neighbor burns the entire lawn every year, right? Yeah. Wasn't that the original question?
That was the original question.
Okay, so we're back to that.
Hire a professional. I would not burn the lawn, especially in our winter. People don't realize Florida's winters are very dry. Mm-hmm. We're very dry in our winter, teetering on drought a lot of times.
Right.
A fire can get out of control in a snap.
I can't even imagine, but.
Yeah, so I'm really not a fan of that. Now, there are some applications where you may want to treat an area with fire, like a large brush area, but again, hire professionals. Always get permit from the fire department. Always do your due diligence when you're dealing with fire. And to that point, because there are some plants, people used to treat weeds with fire because sometimes that prevents them from coming back. It burns up their seeds.
The root.
And a lot of our natives and Florida friendlies actually benefit from fire because it helps them regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
So there are applications of it, but I would not be a proponent of it unless you get a professional.
Well, it was interesting because I think the listener last week said that the neighbor does it every year and then the lawn comes back looking great. So
it
I was wondering what,
so
kind
nervous.
Of, what kind of grass that is or how that works.
I don't know. I guess,
you should see Paul's face right now. It's the face of absolute horror.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Unless you really know what you're doing.
Fire can get out of control real
Absolutely. Well, it's a great question, so hopefully that helped. Here's a very nice text, and we appreciate any comments. This is from one of our listeners, and this is for you, Paul. It says, oh, my goodness, this show is amazing, exclamation point. Thanks for all the info, exclamation point with a big heart.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I really appreciate it. We called him yesterday to come in and sit in for Mike, so you're just doing a great job. And he's always texting in with us when we get... Yeah. We'll get questions, and Paul always will text in a tip or two. Yeah. So,
and actually, you mentioned that. I do want to give a shout out to my client, Pam.
Yes, you said. Yes.
She always listens to this show, and I called her yesterday. I called her yesterday. I said, the radio has called and asked me to step in for Mike. He won't be able to make the show. Can we reschedule for later today? Uh-huh. And she was so excited. She goes, yay, I get to hear you on the radio and see you.
Thank you, Pam, from me. Shout out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, here we go. Another question that's come in, a little more serious. Isn't ashes a form of fertilizer? So maybe that's what the burning thing is about.
It can be, yes. So, now, when I was learning design, the architect that was training me used to fertilize. He has quite a bit of acreage in Seminole, and he used to use ash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not something that I've studied too much in, so I don't know the ins and the outs of using ash. I do know that ash can alter the pH so quickly, though, that you need to do it very sparingly, because it can spike, and spiking a plant's nutrients can be devastating.
Wow.
So just you know, if you're using ash, just do it sparingly.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break. This is The Garden Line. Paul Logsdon is here with Blue Sky Landscaping. If you have any questions for him, 850-437-1620. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about edible plants that you might think about gardening with this year. So don't go away. This is Garden Line on Pep Talk. And we're back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Our guest this morning is Paul Loxton with Blue Sky Landscaping, sitting in for Mike. And by the way, Mike is just fine. He just was not able to come in this morning. He does have a life outside of the radio world. So, but we're holding down the fort with Paul, and just so many great questions coming in. We still have time if you want to text in a question at 850-437-1620. So you were just telling me a story about, we've been talking a lot about some of the native edible plants in our area, and you were just telling me a fun story.
Yeah, so there's actually a common weed for our area. It is called Virginia pepperweed. And just like the name, it was first found in Virginia, but it grows all up the East Coast, right?
Okay.
And I'm kind of a forager. I like to just...
Shocker.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was at a restaurant, though, and I was walking through the parking lot, and this hilarious story. And I saw this plant. I was like, you know, this is kind of a fascinating plant. And so I picked off a leaf, and I just nibbled on it, you know, just to see.
Okay.
Which I don't recommend to people who don't.
I was just going
to
say, for those who are listening, let's just do a disclaimer here, because some plants are poisonous.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I recommend that, Paul, but
yeah, exactly. You did it. I don't.
You said it smelled kind of peppery.
It's spicy. It's very peppery. It tastes like a perfect cross between green apple and wasabi.
Wow.
But it does. It's a spice that doesn't. It doesn't burn the throat.
Mm-hmm.
It just tingles the tongue a little bit. So it's real pleasant. Well, so I did my research on it. Virginia pepperweed. It is a weed that grows prolifically in our area.
Really?
I dug some up from my yard,
mm-hmm.
and I put it in my herb garden. And so I have it, and I use it in my cooking.
No kidding.
But the caveat is you have to do it fresh. It can't, it's not one of those herbs that you can dry out,
uh-huh.
because it loses the spice to it. It's still good.
So it's not like basil or something.
It's not like basil, okay. something where you can dry out and get the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But you just go, you snip off a few leaves or the seed heads, which are also peppery, and you just dress a dish with it.
Okay.
And Virginia pepperweed.
So you need to look that up and get a picture of it, and then you just walk around the neighborhood and find some. Because you can't really buy it, right?
Yeah. But it's delicious.
So what are some other the native edible plants that you're thinking about for this year?
Oh, gosh. Like I said, there's so many. We already did the dwaro-eye blueberry.
Right.
Just did the pepperweed, the ground cherry.
Well, you started to talk a bit about citrus. And
yeah.
So we have, obviously, grapefruit trees aplenty around here. I had a pink grapefruit tree that was the most amazing, abundant. At one point, I was inviting friends over to pick all the grapefruits. I mean, we just couldn't. There were hundreds of them. It was amazing.
You know, it's funny you bring up citrus, because we had a client who wanted a lime tree. And I ordered a lime tree from one of my suppliers. And she told me, Paul, you're not going to believe this, but they're out of lime except for red lime. And I said, I have never heard of a red lime tree. So I talked to my client and they're like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I've never heard of a red
lime.
Is it literally red?
It's red.
Huh.
So we ordered it in, got it in, and I touched base with the gentleman on the red lime tree later on. He says they're delicious.
Huh.
Red lime.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it handled last winter superbly, which everybody knows last winter was kind of brutal. We had that snow.
Right.
And a lot of citrus. Like, I've got a giant grapefruit tree that used to be bordered me and my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It toasted.
Oh, no.
Red lime. And it made it through the winter.
Well, go ahead.
Another grapefruit tree that doesn't get near the accolades it should is loquat.
Okay.
Loquat. They are delicious. And you'll see them around.
Mm-hmm.
They have these, I would say, small plum-sized orange fruit. They taste a lot like an apricot.
Huh.
Delicious. Handles our freezes. Looks very tropical if you're going for that kind of tropical look.
Right.
The birds love them, though. So when they start to fruit, get as many as you can before the birds do.
Right. I had a fig tree that was... I was waiting one more day, I thought, to go pick it, and I made a big mistake because the birds got to it first.
I know. Yeah, birds love the figs.
Mm-hmm.
And fig is a great fruit tree for our area, too.
Yeah, it really did well.
Yep. And Mike and I will always say, pick out the place you want to put the fig and plant it there, because they don't like to be moved.
Oh, okay.
You have less than a 50-50 chance of it surviving if you dig it up once it's planted. It just doesn't like to be moved. A lot of plants don't like that. So try to...
I don't really like it either, so I relate to that. Who likes to move?
That's why actually this time is so critical for landscaping. Mm-hmm. Right before we get into the spring March, go ahead and start calling your designers, start getting out your notepad, planning what you want to do around your yard. Because now's the time to get the game plan rolling.
Right.
Because the spring and summer will be here before we know it.
Yeah. So if we may have a couple of more of those sub-freezing temperatures that we get overnight where it drops into the 20s. Yep. And we've had several conversations with Mike, of course, about covering your plants. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us a brief, since we just had a 20-degree morning recently, can you give us a brief overview of when it's time to do that, take that step, and some suggestions and pointers on the best way to do it?
Yeah, this is going to sound a little counterintuitive, but it is very important. Right before we have a heavy freeze, you do want to irrigate the property.
Oh, okay.
Because the plants going in it need that insulation, and water and ice can actually be an insulator.
Oh, okay.
And it strengthens the plant against the freeze. So
it is counterintuitive. I would think that's the last thing you'd want
to
do.
Yeah, you think you want to dry it out.
Yeah.
But think about plants are living beings, right? Mm-hmm. They get hungry and thirsty just like we do. Mm-hmm. They get cold, warm, just like we do. So you want to take care of them in a similar manner that we take care of ourselves. So water deeply before a freeze, not during the freeze.
Right.
You see some of these people that put on the sprinklers in the middle of the night and the yard is covered in ice. That can be harmful.
Right.
But before the freeze. And then when you cover a plant, you want to, if you're using like a tarp or a non-breathable cover, you want to take that off the plants when it starts to really start warming up, because you don't want to bake the plant.
Right.
But if you're using more of a breathable material like a fabric, you can leave that on during the day as well.
Okay.
But make sure you cover the plant fully.
Okay. We're going to come back. We're talking with Paul Logsdon with Blue Sky Landscaping on the Garden Line. We'll be back with Pep Talk in just a minute. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Big thanks to Paul Logsdon, who joined us this morning from Blue Sky Landscaping, filling in for Mike. Tell us a little bit about Blue Sky Landscaping, Paul. And I'm sure some listeners are thinking, I want this guy to design my lawn. So how can they get in touch with you? And you said you've got a series coming up as well?
Yeah, so Justin DeRose, the owner of Blue Sky, he and I have been going out to Bruce Beach, which just downtown.
Right.
Been landscaped with all Florida natives, and it's beautiful. Neat. So we've been doing kind of a series on our Instagram page of using natives, flowering natives, fruiting natives, edible, the gamut. Mm-hmm. So Blue Sky on Instagram, Blue Sky Landscaping. You can follow our little videos. It's been just fun. We've been having a blast doing that.
Okay. But, so you can find that Blue Sky Landscaping on Instagram. You're also on Facebook.
Yeah, we are also on Facebook. And if you want to call our office, it's 850-695-9959.
Say that one more time.
850-695-9959.
Okay.
Blue Sky Landscaping.
All right. Well, you can hear this again if you've been in the car and he's been telling you about some of these plants and you don't have a pen or a pencil and you haven't had time to write it down. You can re-listen to this podcast. We put it on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on Garden Line, and we'll have it there for you. And you can hear it again on Saturday morning. We always replay on the Saturday mornings as well. So I'm super grateful that you were able to come in, because if you had me talking about plants for an hour, it would be scary.
It's a pleasure. I love it.
Yeah, you can tell that you're passionate about it. Yeah. And I have so many questions. So it's great.
Yeah.
So anything that we need to do, we've got about 30 seconds left that you can tell us.
Well, now is also a good time to start mulching.
Oh, okay.
Preparing your beds. Anything that you can do to prepare your beds for spring and getting ready for the flushing season of growth.
Okay.
It's coming quickly.
It's coming quickly.
It's coming quickly, which I'm so grateful for. I hate the cold.
I know, you and me both. Paul, thank you so much for being our guest on the Garden Line this morning. This is Pep Talk.